This morning, I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 2. Continue working our way through the Gospel of Mark. This morning, we're looking at Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, and we'll go through chapter 3, verse 6. For those of you who are taking notes, I have a little bit of a confession. Last week, we just made it through the first point and didn't cover the second and the third point. I realized what time we were at after the first point and abruptly landed that plane. So this morning we'll be picking up our passage again in Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, as we look at how Christ is interacting with these Pharisees in regards to Sabbath and observing the Sabbath day. Before we turn our attention to God's word, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, we pray that you will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mark chapter 2, beginning with verse 23, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking his word to us. On Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, 'Come here.' And he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, what is the difference between obeying the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law? How does someone keep the letter of the law on the one hand, but break the spirit of the law on the other? Jesus explains this with the parable of the Good Samaritan. You probably know the story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And as that man lay, the first two people who passed by were both religious leaders. And so you would expect that these would be the kind of people who would stop and help. But as you know, they didn't. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, why do we call this parable the parable of the Good Samaritan? It's because it's the Samaritan who stopped and helped. Why do we call this parable the parable of the obedient priest, the law-abiding Levi? Because according to God's law, talking about the letter of the law, priests were forbidden to touch a dead body. That's Leviticus 21. And according to custom, Levites who became ceremonially unclean had to go through a costly and a time-consuming week-long ritual of purification. So according to the letter of the law, you could argue that these two men actually had a duty not to stop and help. Because the law, after all, forbids a priest to touch a dead body. However, Leviticus 19 gave the command, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And so because of that law, these men had a greater responsibility to stop and help. Because of that law, both of these men were guilty of the sin of omission. They failed to love their neighbor. They failed to save this man's life. And their omission, and you could even say their cruelty, their neglect, is highlighted even further because here you have a priest and a Levite who are coming from Jerusalem. Now, why would a priest and a Levite be making their way to Jerusalem? Probably because they were just worshiping at the temple on the Sabbath. The people who would have heard this parable that Jesus is sharing would assume that these religious leaders had just been in Jerusalem serving at the temple. They had been reciting the law. They had been offering sacrifices on God's altar. But no matter how fervently and passionately they worshiped at God's house, when these men went out on the road after worship, they failed to keep the law of God's love. They were keeping the letter of the law, but they were violating the spirit of the law. Now, this kind of legalism is also exemplified by the Pharisees in our passage this morning, who confront Jesus over his disciples eating grain or confront Jesus over healing on the Sabbath day. They are concerned with the letter of the law, and it's actually their law, their rules that they've made up, and they're avoiding anything that might look like work. And as a result, they've ended up missing the point of the law altogether. The reason for the law, if you think about the Old Testament, if you think about God giving his people his law, the reason for the law was God laying a foundation for his people to recognize their own inability and to look forward to the one, the Messiah, who would perfectly keep the law in their place. The one who would fulfill the law. It was to draw their hearts, the hearts of the people, to the coming Messiah. It was to train them and teach them what the Messiah would be coming to accomplish. Perfect obedience to the law. Now, the problem that we see in our passage this morning with the Pharisees, with their hypocritical, self-righteous legalism, is that they are so focused on man-made rules that their heart isn't drawn to the Messiah. They're not longing for the one to come who will obey God's law perfectly. They're focused on themselves. They're focused on their obedience. Instead of looking to the one who perfectly keeps and fulfills the law, they're looking at their obedience. Now, in a similar way, as we think about this passage this morning, it's easy for us to get stuck on obeying the letter of the law and not only miss the spirit of the law, the love that we're called to show God and to our neighbor, but the fulfillment of the law that is found in Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus confronts our legalism, our hypocrisy, our self-righteousness by teaching us that loving, showing mercy is not only allowed on the Sabbath, but required on the Sabbath. And as we look at that in our passage, we're first of all looking at a reminder. Secondly, a declaration. And third, an example or a verification. And so first, a reminder. And that reminder that Jesus is giving starts with a question. Well, what did David do? He draws the attention to David. In their effort at not working, we looked at this last week, in their effort to not work, the Pharisees ended up missing the point of the Sabbath law because they worked hard at not working. And because of their legalism, they didn't experience the blessing of the Sabbath rest and what the Sabbath was pointing to, namely Jesus. They ended up weighing people down with all of these extra biblical regulations for the Sabbath. And they confronted Jesus and the disciples about picking heads of grain and asking, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? It's unlawful according to their man-made laws, not God's law. And now Jesus is addressing that. And he begins in verse 25 by saying, have you never read what David did? That probably was a little offensive to these Pharisees who prized themselves in their biblical knowledge. But Jesus is reminding them. In response, he's going deeper than just superficial rule keeping. He wants to set the fourth commandment, the Sabbath law, free from all of these additional burdens and manipulations that the Pharisees have added to it. And so he tells this story from the Old Testament. Verse 25, have you never read what David did? When he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. Now Jesus here is referring to a story from the life of David. Now at that point in history, God had rejected Saul as king, and had anointed David to serve as Israel's right king. But Saul wasn't dead yet. And so out of envy, out of rage, anger, Saul is threatening David's life, and David is having to run for his life. In 1 Samuel 21, we pick up the story with David needing to flee, and he doesn't have time to pack anything. And so him and his men are starving. They left in such a hurry that they didn't have time to take any food with them. And so they go to the tabernacle where Ahimelech is priest. And David said to him, now then, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever is here. But Ahimelech said to David, I have no common bread on hand, but there is only holy bread. The young men have kept themselves from women. So the priest here is referring to the bread of the presence, which is kept in the tabernacle, the sacred bread of the covenant, which is baked fresh every week and set out before the Lord on the golden table. It's only for the priests to eat, no one else. That's what God had told Moses. So what's the law? What's the command that God gave to Moses and Moses gave to his people? Here it is, Leviticus 25. You shall take fine flour and bake 12 loaves from it. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each loaf, and you shall set them in 2 piles, 6 in a pile, on the table of pure gold before the Lord. Every Sabbath day Aaron shall arrange it before the Lord regularly. It is from the people of Israel as a covenant forever, and it shall be for Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, since it is for him a most holy portion out of the Lord's food offerings. A perpetual dew. So because the bread of the presence was consecrated to God, God's holy priests were the only people who were allowed to eat it. But David and his men are starving. They're not priests, but they're hungry. And so technically for them to eat the sacred bread was a violation of the ceremonial law that governed the worship of the tabernacle. And as the priest considered the situation, he's on the one hand got this ceremonial rule governing what to do with the bread and who is to eat it. And on the other hand, he's got the law of God that says, love your neighbor as yourself. He realized that he had a higher duty to meet this basic human need to love his neighbor. And so the priest gave him the holy bread, gave David the holy bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence. And this was the right thing to do. And it's not only the right thing to do because his neighbor in general was in need, but here you have David, the anointed king of Israel, on a mission for the Lord, doing the Lord's work. Now, by telling this story, or referring to this story, Jesus is making, he's arguing from a more complex case to a lesser case, or an easier to understand case. The logic here is this: if it was okay, or if it was even proper for David's men to eat the bread of the presence, as holy as it was, then it's even more appropriate for the disciples to pick grain on the Sabbath day. If it was okay for David to violate a ceremonial law when the Lord's anointed was on the business of the Lord on the Sabbath, then when it comes to Jesus, the anointed and his followers may definitely break these man-made rules while doing the Lord's work on the Sabbath. The Pharisees were majoring in the minors. Spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. And we can all probably think of ways that we have done this ourselves, majoring in the minors, focusing on the letter of the law and missing the main point. Could probably even come up with examples from this morning. Now, the problem with the Pharisees was not simply that they were too strict. The problem was that they did not understand the true purpose of the law, the spirit of the law, which demands love for God and love for our neighbor. And what that means is that they begin to misapply the law because they didn't understand this. They didn't know how to apply the law of God properly in the way that Jesus does. And that's why Jesus is confronting them, confronting us with our self-righteousness, with our legalism, with our hypocrisy. And he's teaching us that loving and showing mercy is allowed and even required on the Sabbath. That's the reminder that he gives, first of all. Secondly, we have a declaration. So as we continue to work through our passage here, we have a declaration. And that declaration is what Jesus says in verse 28. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now Jesus could have wrapped up this conversation with these Pharisees right after he said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Done. Walk away. He already proved his point by referencing David. He already clearly showed that the disciples didn't do anything wrong. But Jesus goes on to make one more dramatic, strong declaration that we might overlook. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Now, what's happening here is that Jesus just took the opportunity to drive home the point that he is the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah. He is the Lord, which means that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's emphasizing his authority here. Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, what does that mean exactly? Son of Man. And we're going to see it again in our passage tonight when Jesus says that the Son of Man needs to be lifted up on the cross. Son of Man is a title that Jesus uses to refer to himself, and it's a reference to his humanity, Son of Man. But when you look back to Daniel, it's also a prophetic reference to him being the Messiah. Daniel includes his ascension as the Son of Man. And so by using this title, Jesus is testifying that, yes, he is truly human, and he's also hinting at his coming glory. He's the first man in this new humanity. But Jesus is also God. And this is clear in the implication that of his claim as a lordship over the Sabbath. So who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Well, only God is the Lord of the Sabbath. So who is this Son of Man, Jesus? Well, he is Lord of the Sabbath. Think about it in light of the fourth commandment. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to who? To the Lord your God. 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, who? The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So in this moment, Jesus is declaring that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, that he is the God who created all things and then rested on the seventh day, that he is the one who blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. He is, Son of Man, is the Lord of the Sabbath. And when Jesus says this, when he makes this statement, he is highlighting the significance and the importance of this day. As strange as it may sound, there are some Christians who will use what Jesus is saying here as being the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath, as a way to explain away the Sabbath, as a way to say, well, you know, the Sabbath doesn't matter. You know, Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. It's not important. Some have even given the impression that in this passage, Jesus is saying that the Sabbath no longer matters. Like that, you know, out of all the Ten Commandments is the one that Jesus has abolished and done away with. As Lord of Sabbath, he could do whatever he wanted, and it was eliminated, so there's no reason to keep a day of rest anymore. But the truth, the reality, is almost completely the opposite of that. Knowing that Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath helps us to realize and understand that this day still has significance for the church. The body of Christ. J.C. Ryle comments, here's what he says, "We must not allow ourselves to be carried away by the common notion that the Sabbath is a mere Jewish ordinance and that it was abolished and done away by Christ. There is not a single passage of the Gospels which proves this. In every case where we find our Lord speaking upon it, he speaks against the false views of it, like we see in our passage, which were taught by the Pharisees, but not against the day itself." And then Ryle makes this point. "The architect who repairs a building and restores it to its proper use is not the destroyer of it, but the preserver." And that's what we see Christ doing with the Sabbath. He's going head to head with these Pharisees who have added all kinds of rules and regulations and end up missing the point altogether. That's getting removed. But since the creation of the world, God has required his people to keep one day in seven holy, set apart for worship and rest. And Jesus is preserving this commandment because when the Sabbath came, he's worshiping at the synagogue. And we're called to follow his example. Throughout the Gospels, it's clear that the Lord taught that the Sabbath should be consecrated, devoted to God. And that's why it's fitting for us to have one day of rest where we disentangle ourselves from our ordinary everyday activities and able to set time aside to worship and glorify God to the best of our abilities. Jesus confronts us with our self-righteousness, our legalism, our hypocrisy by teaching us that loving and showing mercy is allowed and even required on the Sabbath. He gave us a reminder. He's given us a declaration. And third and finally, he's giving us a verification or an example. And that's the man with the withered hand. Jesus proves that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he gives us an example to follow when he shows love and mercy and he heals this man's hand. Now, as we jump into chapter 3, the question is, well, what's allowed on Sunday? What's allowed on the Sabbath? The Sabbath is a day for the things that are truly necessary to meet our physical needs. We see that with the disciples. That's what they were doing when they were picking grain. It's a day to do what's truly necessary when it comes to healing this man with a shriveled hand. Jesus is bringing him the ultimate rest, healing, restoration, redemption. But as we say that, we also have to be careful. Because not everything is as necessary as I think it should be or is. Not everything is as necessary to do on the Lord's Day as we think it is. We need to resist the temptation to think that we need to be working on the Lord's Day, or studying or shopping on the Sabbath, when in fact, we probably haven't used our time wisely into the fullness the other 6 days of the week. Jesus knows we have needs, and unlike the Pharisees, he sets us free from all of the man-made rules that actually keep us from observing the true purpose of the Sabbath, which is to put his glory at the center of our lives. The Lord's Day is for resting from our physical labor so that our bodies and our minds can be restored and renewed. As Scripture says, Hebrews 4, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his work as God did from his. Jesus has finished his work of salvation so that we don't have to work our way into heaven. Part of the Sabbath rest principle is us realizing that I don't have to work in order to earn this rest. That rest has been given to me because of what Christ has earned by his work. He is the one who perfectly obeyed the law for our justification. The Lord's Day is for worship. It's for praising God with his people, for prayer, for Bible study, for fellowship with other Christians. And it's for all of these things because it is for the Lord. If we dishonor the day, then we are dishonoring the Lord. It's the Lord's day. But as we honor the day, we are honoring him. Now again, we see that Jesus entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they, that's the Pharisees, watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Now keep the bigger picture in mind. The laws of God were given to draw people's hearts to the coming Messiah. Who's the Messiah? Jesus is. The laws were given to teach their minds about what Jesus came to accomplish. The Sabbath points to Christ, the rest that he brings through the redemption that he accomplishes. Redemption, which means undoing, delivering, rescuing us from sin, all the effects and the consequences of sin, death, disease, withered hands. So here Jesus is doing what he came to do as the Messiah, which the law should have been directing the Pharisees' hearts towards if they were looking at it in the proper way. However, from their narrow legalistic perspective, the Pharisees are simply waiting for Jesus to heal this man so that they can accuse him of working on the Sabbath day, breaking the fourth commandment. And Jesus knew this. He knew what the Pharisees were thinking. And his response is amazing. He said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? That's quite the question. Jesus gives really good answers. But when he throws a question back at the Pharisees, it strikes them right at the heart. Here's what he's setting up. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good and to heal on the one hand, or to harm and to kill on the other hand? And here's what's so profound about this passage. The Pharisees don't want to say that it's okay to heal and promote life on the Sabbath because that's working. So no, that's not allowed. But they also know that you can't kill and harm on the Sabbath day. Now you're breaking the sixth commandment. At the very end of our passage, that's exactly what they're doing on the Sabbath day as they plot how to destroy Jesus. The Sabbath day is for doing good. But they're not concerned about keeping God's law. They're more concerned about keeping their man-made rules. And because they didn't leave any room for mercy, Their obedience to the law is done before it even begins. Jesus wanted the Pharisees to see that by refusing to do good on the Sabbath, they were actually causing harm. Not only is it fine for Jesus to heal this man on the Sabbath, it was wrong for the Pharisees not to help this man on the Sabbath. And that's what Jesus is trying to show them, that their view of the Sabbath is inadequate. It's not enough. He was trying to tell them and show them that it was immoral. If you want to talk about who's breaking the Sabbath here, it's the Pharisees. The two options before them are doing good and saving a life or doing harm and killing, taking a life. And they refuse to do good and save a life. And so the reality is that they are doing harm and taking life. And their unwillingness to do good means that they're doing wrong. Even though they've convinced themselves that they were keeping God's law, when in fact they were breaking it. Now this poor example of the religious leaders confronts us in the ways that we keep a list of things that make us good enough for God, and at the same time completely miss the things that are the most important to him. The Pharisees had long lists of things that they did to be godly, but they overlooked the big things like loving, mercy, and doing justice. How do we do this very thing? Well, when we avoid people in obvious need. When I come up with flimsy excuses for refusing to get involved when someone who has a legitimate claim on my love. When we have little concern for those who are wounded and dying, whether their injuries are spiritual or physical. When I see someone who might be in trouble but refuse to stop and find out what kind of help I might be able to offer. When we walk away from worship with a heart as hard as the one we came in with. When I am too selfish to interrupt what I am doing or to be inconvenienced by someone else's problem. Whenever we make lame excuses for not doing what we know deep down that Jesus wants us to do for someone else. God wants us to have a heart of compassion for people in need. He wants us to share the same compassion and love that he has shown to us when we were the ones in need. And Jesus brings all of these issues right to the forefront, right out into the open when he invites this man with the withered hand to stand in front of the Pharisees. And then he puts the question in their lap. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save a life or to kill? And they don't answer. And Jesus is angry. He's grieved at the hardness of their hearts. They're silent. And then Jesus said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. Here we have a miraculous healing. One moment, this man's arm is dangling useless at his side, and the very next moment, he was flexing his fingers. He was healed. At the command of Christ, he was able to do the very thing they had never been able to do before and stretch out his hand. Was that okay? Was it lawful for Jesus to do that on Sunday, on the Sabbath? And the answer is yes. By doing this miracle, the Lord of the Sabbath was not simply claiming his own personal right to do whatever he wanted on the day. Instead, he was showing the deeper purpose of the law, mercy, and love. Earlier, Jesus told the story about David and how there were certain things that we may do on the Sabbath, works of necessity. And here, as Jesus is performing this miracle, he's showing that there's also things that we must do on the Sabbath, and that is showing love and mercy. How did the Pharisees respond? Now the true nature of their heart is being revealed. Verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, that's Christ, how to destroy him. Now, if we use the same question that the Pharisee used back up in verse 24, in response to what they're doing in verse 6. Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? Their hypocrisy shines through. Is plotting murder allowed on the Sabbath? Just a question. And it was getting together on the Sabbath with other people and trying to figure out how we might destroy or kill someone. Is that okay on the Sabbath? No. That's not okay any day of the week. These Pharisees, once again, you strain out the gnat, you end up swallowing a camel. According to the Pharisees, Jesus wasn't allowed to show mercy and heal on the Sabbath, but here, they're apparently allowed to show hatred and plot murder on the Sabbath. Who's breaking the Sabbath now? This forces us to examine our own response to Christ's call and to have a heart of compassion. And his day, the Lord's day, is a wonderful opportunity to show others the love and the mercy that Christ has shown to us. Yes, Sunday is a day of worship. It is a day of rest. But it's also a day for visiting the sick, for welcoming in the stranger. It's a day for helping people worship in nursing homes. It's a day for hosting. It's a day for reaching out to the homeless. It's a day for giving fatherly care and attention to orphans. It's a day for taking time to counsel friends who need some encouragement. It's a day for giving all the service to God that we are unable to give the rest of the week. And in addition to giving us a good day for rest and worship, the Lord has also given us a great day for the gospel. Not just hearing the gospel, but also practicing and living out the gospel that we have heard and love. Jesus confronts us in our own legalism. There's a little Pharisaism in all of us. And he confronts that by teaching us that loving and showing mercy is allowed and required on the Sabbath. That he is the Lord of the Sabbath. That he is our Lord. And that we can show the love that he has shown to us. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you and we thank you for the love and the mercy that has been shown to us broken sinners in Jesus Christ. Lord, forgive us for the times when we major in the minors, when we get stuck on the letter of the law instead of seeing the bigger picture and missing the love. Forgive us for the times we've become resounding gongs and clanging cymbals because love is missing. Continue your work in us, Lord. Fill us with your love so that we can live our lives for you, so that we can love and show mercy in the way that you have loved and shown us mercy in your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.